recovery. Quite an extensive surgery that she went through, that the cancer would be eliminated, and God's hand would be shown on her, and that whole family be blessed. Amen. Jesus, we look to you. We look to you and call upon your great name. Thank you for the power, Lord Jesus, of your name to minister and to do a great work. God, continue, I pray, to show your hand, show your mercy, show your healing, Lord, upon Belle, upon the whole family. Oh, Father, that you would work, God, in a mighty way. In a mighty way, Lord, bring salvation, I pray, and power through your goodness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, be with Sister Stella, God. Help her, Lord, as she prepares for surgery. I pray, God, that you would work in her life. Provide your touch, Lord, upon her body. Move, we ask, Lord, in your holy name. Hallelujah. Continue to minister to Sister Marilyn. Continue to lift her up. Oh, Lord, provide, I pray, your healing touch. Provide for Brother Steve, God, and minister to him and his needs, Lord. In the name of Jesus, do a mighty work. Thank you for your touch upon Sister Esther. Thank you, Lord, for the improvement, the work that is already progressing. Continue, oh God, to show your hand of power, your hand of healing and deliverance, Lord. In the name of Jesus, that your name, God, would be lifted up. Your name, God, would be exalted. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your great name, Jesus. Glory to your great name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. All right, two verses of scripture from 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. A portion of the prayer that Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel when he is facing great opposition, huge odds against him. And God used one. God can use you. God can use one individual. Praise God. Thank the Lord for a church. Thank the Lord for a body of believers. Amen. But if you find yourself alone, you're really not alone. The Lord is there with you. 1 Kings 18, 37 and 38. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's quite an answer. Praise God. But notice the purpose. Elijah was not just trying to be sensational. He wasn't just wanting a display of the miraculous. Turn their hearts back. Say that with me. Turn their hearts back. Amen. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. In your ministry, the way God wants to use you, turn their hearts back. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Now, Israel was not too concerned with service to God. They were caught up from the king down, from the queen on down, with idolatrous worship. And so repairing altars was not on the top of their list. However, if they did need an altar repairman, get a hold of Elijah. Praise God. He rebuilt the altar that was broken down. The 12 stones that were required in building that altar. And no doubt, each time he placed one stone, I believe he was praying, God bless Dan. He named those stones. God bless Reuben. God bless Naphtali. God bless Judah. You know, and he would pray for each of those tribes so that they would have an opportunity to come back to the Lord, turn their hearts back. Amen. They misused the altar. They disused the altar. But Elijah was concerned they don't lose the altar. And that's important in our lives as well, too. Because there is a lot of misuse and disuse going on in the world today. But we're not going to lose our altar. Amen. I like what Hebrews 13 and 10 says, the writer to the Hebrews, whether it's Paul or whoever it is, he declares, we have an altar. We have an altar, and we're not going to lose it. We're not going to misuse it. Amen. And I'm thankful that we have an altar today. Not the one that was used in the tabernacle and in the temple, but we do have an altar, praise God. And I'm thankful that that's what we have to rely upon the Lord. Now, the prophets of Baal had an altar as well. And they could use their altar first. And their bullock was cut in pieces. Their sacrifice was made. And they began to call upon their God. But Elijah stood back. There was no way he was going to associate with that. And there was no way he was going to be a part of it. And he was making sure it was understood, I am serving God at this altar. I'm not compromising. I'm not participating. I'm not going along with what's going on with that altar. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you can't eat of the Lord's table and you can't eat of the table of the devil at the same time. No, you make a choice. The Lord's table or the table of the devil. And Elijah was very caught up in this whole aspect of, I'm making it very clear. This is the altar that I'm serving at. Amen. And I think it would be a good thing for us to name those stones as we put them in place in our altar. Probably the first stone that you would name would be faith. Got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Faith for forgiveness. Not just forgiveness of others, but forgiveness of ourselves to believe the Lord. Amen. And not withholding that forgiveness either for others or for ourselves, but believing it, receiving it, and letting the Lord minister as we put faith in place. Amen. And you might have a different list of how you name those 12 stones. Let me just share quickly what some of the ones I came up with. Sincerity, devotion, commitment, obedience. All of these stones of the altar being put in place. First, love. Amen. Don't leave that first love. Don't forget that first love. Don't neglect that first love. But hold it strong in your devotion to the Lord. Submission. Separation. Honesty. Ooh, my. You look at Acts 5 and the lack of honesty was severely dealt with. You got to make sure there's an honesty both with myself and with those I come in contact with. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira, they paid the price. A lack of honesty, very critical in their situation. Holiness, along with the separation. Righteousness that comes from the Lord. And, of course, sacrifice. That was the purpose of the altar. Make yourself a living sacrifice. Amen. The Amplified renders Romans 12 and 1 obviously an amplified or expanded version. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you. He's saying it very strong. Beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting your members, your faculties, as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable and rational and intelligent service and spiritual worship. Makes sense. Sure enough. And that's our sacrifice unto the Lord. He repaired the altar not because it looked good, not because it was simply a memorial, not because he wanted to name the tribes of Israel. That's just my imagination. And it certainly wasn't just for ceremony. It was for sacrifice. And in the name of the Lord, he rebuilt that altar. And thank God we can remember our sacrificial Savior and know that that's why we sacrifice. That's why we're baptized. We're baptized in the name of the one who was crucified for us. Praise God. And we sang about the powerful name of Jesus very appropriately, because his name is what brings salvation. Remember, I believe it's in Genesis 15, three chapters before Abraham had gotten his call to come out and to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, to leave all that was familiar to him, all that was convenient, all that presented his riches, leave it and go out. In Genesis 15, he's getting an assurance. He's getting a recognition of the hand of the Lord in this call, and he's moving in the direction that God wants him to go. And he offers a sacrifice. An altar is very familiar to Abraham. And on that altar, he offered a heifer, he offered a goat, he offered a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. But there was no fire. God said, don't put a fire under it. So he has all of this sacrifice in place. And naturally, the birds of prey flying around, they can scent the blood, and they came, and he drove them away. He was alert. He was diligent. He didn't allow them to come and just feast on the sacrifice that he had made. He preserved that sacrifice. Let's name some of those birds. Doubt. Are you sure? Did you really hear that God said to do this? Comfort. Boy, it'd be a whole lot better to just be back at your tent enjoying some cooked meat instead of this raw meat sitting around here on this altar. You know, we could name a lot of things. Self-satisfaction, materialism, just all kinds of things that he beat away from his sacrifice. And then a darkness that came upon him in this place of sacrifice, and then sleep. He was exhausted. He was worn out. But even in all of those circumstances and all of those difficulties, God's presence came, and his promise was fulfilled. Amen. One version says it was like a smoking oven, his altar. When the presence of God came, it was like a smoking oven and a burning torch that came amongst all of the pieces of sacrifice, and he knew then the power of God was there. Was that the end of Abraham's sacrifices? Oh, no. He even went up Mount Moriah with his son behind him, knowing that his purpose was to offer his son as a sacrifice by the command of God. He called it worship. And we know the wonderful story of how the Lord provided a ram, and he learned something about the Lord as well as learning something about himself, that he's not going to hold back. But what he learned about the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Praise God. And I like the way he combined worship and sacrifice, and that's the way we're going to view it as well. But Elijah altered the altar. Yes, he rebuilt it the way it was supposed to be. He put the stones in place. And the 12 stones were there representing the tribes of Israel, the right way it was done. But his alteration was a trench around that altar. He dug a trench. And it could hold 2 measures of seed. I don't imagine it was just a little, whatever 2 measures of seed is. I don't imagine it was something just he drug a stick around there, you know, making a line, making a mark in the ground. I don't think it was that way. When he stacked the stones, when he dug the ditch, he was demonstrating his commitment to the Lord. And I'd like to think there were some young men who stepped forward and said, would you like for me to help you? Those stones are a bit heavy. That ditch is, you're digging away there. I'd like to help you. Did any of the 450 prophets of Baal, did any of the 400 more who were following the Baal, did they step forward? No. In fact, nobody did. He finally delegated somebody, you four, go get some barrels, fill them with water, pour it over this altar, do it again, until it was soaking wet, and the ditch that he had dug was full of water. 12 barrels, and remember, they're on top of the mountain. Where'd they get the water? There's a spring up there, a pond, a lake. 3.5 years, it had not rained. So whether they had to go to a stream or they had to go to the ocean, I'm not sure where Mount Carmel is there, but either way, that was quite a sacrifice too. Amen. And he was getting it to where it was completely saturated. Blood mixed with water. Where'd we hear that before? Or after. Amen. Came out of the Lord's side. But he wanted no excusing what was going to happen. He wanted no accusation of magic or man's ability or any of those kinds of things. He wanted to make sure when fire came, it was of the Lord. Praise God. And fire and water. Hallelujah. Amen. And right from the very beginning, Genesis 1 and 2, the Spirit of God hovered over the water. When there's spirit and water, when there's fire and water, thank God, there can be a tremendous change. I'm thankful. Isaiah 43 and 2 says God will take you through the water. He'll take you through the river. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up. Hallelujah. Thank God for that power. Isaiah 59 and 19. Impossible situations, no doubt. And maybe those prophets of Baal snickering, outright laughing at this old prophet as he carries on here with his sacrifice and wondering, how is there going to be any fire? How is there going to be any flame coming out of that mess? This is ridiculous. He really dug himself in a hole. He didn't read Maxwell's Rule of Holes. You know what Maxwell's Rule of Holes is? When you're in a hole, stop digging. Well, Elijah didn't hear that. He just kept right on going. Impossible? That's what God specializes in, isn't it? That's a good old chorus. Any rivers you think are uncrossable? Any what you can't tunnel through? Mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And he will do what no other power can do. Praise God. Oh, yeah. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Oh, yeah. Thank the Lord for the power of God and the strength that he can do a work that we hold on to. Now, Elijah was a man of prayer. We read part of his prayer. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. Somewhere in the middle of 63 words, he utters that. 63 words. That doesn't sound like a man of prayer. Well, he had prayer to back it up. Amen. When you're in the hospital room praying with somebody, you're not going to have time to have a three-day fast. You're not going to have time to have a four-hour prayer meeting. Amen. You've got 4 minutes, maybe less. But you can pray the prayer of faith because of what you have in your background. Amen. Hallelujah. And see the hand of the Lord work and his blessing come forth. Thank the Lord. Elijah, I remember, James says, was a man who had a nature like ours. Oh, boy, you can go all kinds of ways with that, can't you? There were times when he got tired. And there are times that we know he was disappointed, even discouraged. But he kept on praying. He kept on praying. He kept on praying. And the reason there wasn't rain for 3.5 years is because Elijah prayed. It started 3.5 years before. He prayed, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed for rain, and it came in abundance. Praise God. So now 63 words is not an excuse for just short prayers. No, he had a backlog of prayer backing him up. Praise God. Remember, the ravens fed him, and he was at the brook and had his water provided. And then he went to the widow of Zarephath, and her meal and oil did not fail. It wasn't overflowing. It wasn't running over, but praise God, it didn't run out either. She had enough to make a cake and bread for her and her son. She had enough oil. Every time she went to the barrel and every time she tipped the vessel over, it had oil and it had meal. Until the rain came, where she could have a regular harvest and have her needs provided for. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord knows how to take care of his people. Amen. Amen. And then the fire fell. Praise God. Abraham's sacrifice, the fire came in the tabernacle. The fire came, and you're reading through. Are you reading the bread program? You're reading through Leviticus now. I like to look ahead, you know, and I like to find those four places where God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And I like to get to the end of chapter 9, where fire fell. Praise God, and the blessing of God came in a tremendous way. And then I'm always astonished to jump right into chapter 10 and see fire fall again, but this time in judgment. In judgment. Fire ended Korah's rebellion. You know, fire falling from the Lord is tremendous, but make sure it's a blessing and not a judgment. Korah's rebellion ended with fire. Gideon saw fire come up out of the rock. David at Ornan's threshing floor had fire. Solomon couldn't enter the temple. The priest couldn't enter the temple because fire fell and the smoke of the presence of the Lord was there. John prophesied, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Did it happen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Matthew 3:11 was the prophecy. Acts 2:3 was the fulfillment. Glory to God. I'm thankful the Lord puts forth his power. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Praise God. The fire of the Lord fell. Now, it wasn't in Elijah's robe. You know, he didn't have a special pocket here that, hey, I'm going to pull out this little demonstration here. It wasn't in his ability. It was supernatural. Amen. And I like the way the scripture says the burnt sacrifice was burned up. The wood was burned up. And naturally, those things would be consumed by the fire. The water would evaporate. Can you imagine the sizzle and the steam and the hiss of that, bits of wood falling and so on, and that fire being, wow, it was an incredible fire. The stones and the dust were burned up as well. Just a scorched portion of ground there where the altar had stood. And, the people falling on their faces and saying, "The Lord, He is the God." Their hearts were turned back. Amen. Amen. It would be wonderful to have seen the wholesale nationwide revival come in a powerful way. And Elijah made sure that influence was eliminated. He took care of him. It wasn't just a supernatural display. There was some action that had to take place here. But it made Jezebel very upset. The move of God makes the devil upset. Amen. You're praying this prayer every day. It's making the devil mad. The reports I'm hearing, there's definite opposition. But oh, thank God, the Lord knows how to answer by fire. He knows how to do a good work. Praise God. And that fire can come into our lives and burn up what doesn't need to be there. Burn up all that is trash, all that is wrong. Praise God. And we need His fire for illumination and for warmth. The scripture says God is a consuming fire. Make sure it's for blessing and not judgment. Amen. And I like the way it continues. 2 Kings continues, and I want you to notice something here as we go through the list real quick. I'm not going to take a lot of time on it, but I just want to show you how Elisha continues the blessing of the Lord and how it is multiplied. The fire falling, rain coming, all of that was incredible. But look at how it just continues to be supernaturally strong for the blessings of the Lord. Chapter 2, we'll just go through it real quick here. Sometimes there's one thing that happens. Sometimes there's multiple things that happens. In chapter 2 with Elisha, remember he wanted a double portion. Salt heals the water and the barren land. Elisha had salt put in the water. Chapter 3. They dug ditches. I wonder if they were thinking, Elijah dug ditches. And he filled them with water. God's going to fill the ditches we dig with water. And then there was victory over the Moabites. Chapter 4, the pot of oil and the Shunammite son raised. And the pot of poison pottage, able to be consumed, able to be eaten. Chapter 5, Naaman's miracle and the witness of that little maiden of how she said, I would that Naaman would know there was a prophet in Israel who could heal him. It wasn't Elisha that would do it. It was God. And Elisha pointed him in the right direction. Go and wash yourself how many times in the Jordan? Seven times. Why seven? Why not three? Why, five. Five sounds good. Seven times. The obedience is what is key. Because he didn't want to do it to begin with. And his servant said, if he'd have asked you to do something hard, if he'd have asked you to do something bordering on the impossible, you would have attempted it. Now it's so simple. And we're here. Go ahead. I wonder if they cheered him on. That's one. Go, man. Go. That's two. Come on, just a few more. That's three. But oh, my goodness, can you imagine the look on everybody's face, including Naaman, when he came up and his flesh was like a little child's? Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Chapter 6, the axe head floats. A borrowed axe head. I think if it was me, I'd have paid for it. I'm going to buy this axe head. You take a couple dollars for it? Praise God. It floated just like a stick. Amen. And the servant woke up and saw the enemy around him. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw the angelic host around him. And Elisha declaring, there are more with us than be with them. Praise God. Chapter 7, the four lepers who march to, they don't march, they kind of stagger, holding each other up probably as they go to the camp of the Syrians. There's famine. It's a double threat. There's famine, and then there's the Syrians who are going to annihilate them. But the four lepers go to the camp of the Assyrians, and the whole thing is reversed. Okay, we'll stop there. Note what brought about each demonstration of the supernatural. It wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't just God saying, oh, okay, it's time for another demonstration. I'm going to show you how powerful I am. I'm going to reveal my supernatural workings. It wasn't. In each case, chapter 2, all the way through chapter 7, and in the rest of the Bible, whenever there is a display of the supernatural, there's a need. There's a need. There's a situation that almost seems impossible. Well, I think we can say that each one of these was, you know, get rid of that poisoned pottage. Just throw it out and start over. No, he made it edible. The pot of oil that didn't fail. The ditches that got full of water. It wasn't just the soldiers that needed water. It was their livestock that needed water as well. So there was quite a bit of water that came in those ditches. And they did not see clouds. They did not see rain. But the valley would be full of ditches. So each time God ministered to a need. Needs are not, impossible situations. Situations where we're having great difficulty and we wonder how in the world is this going to turn out. That's God's opportunity. That's God saying, I can show you. I can bring my power to display. Praise God. So my point here is God will use those circumstances to demonstrate his power and help those individuals who are associated or who are there to observe his power turn their hearts back. Amen. And they'll recognize, wow, that is incredible power. When Naaman came back home, I've got to think, he had victory celebrations, he had parades on his behalf because he's a captain of the Syrian army, he's victorious. And when he came back this time, don't you think there was a parade? And he's be sure to be waving now. He's got a big smile now. He doesn't have his head covered with armor and so on. He wants everybody to see the miracle. And that little maid. I think there was a smile on her face that just went from ear to ear. And she was so thrilled that her God is still able to do the work. And it was her witness, her words that brought about the miracle. Praise God. At least initiated it. Amen. Oh, God honors faithfulness. Praise God. That's why one man and his little family with $25 in their pocket, landing in Sitka in 1940. That's why there's a church in Alaska today, and the Alaska Yukon District celebrates, and a whole bunch of us get together at the retreat that you prayed powerfully for, and God visited in a tremendous way. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God answers by fire. Amen. Now here's a key. Isaiah 57 and 15. Isaiah 57 and 15. This is the high and lofty one. Are you sure it's one? Does it say one? Does it say one, Brother Greg? Yeah. Sure enough. Who dwells in eternity. Praise God. He inhabits eternity. That's where he is. He's not a captive of time. He's not one who is going to, be backing up and trying to correct mistakes in time. No, he's high. He's lofty. There's one. His name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, he says. He reaffirms that. He's high and lofty. He's high and holy. And then notice the contrite and the humble. The contrite and the humble are who live with him there. That's who he revives. That's who he reaches out to. Praise God. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Praise God. The ones who recognize, I need you, Lord. Can't make it on my own. Can't see these needs fulfilled unless you're there, Lord. Amen. No, thank God. He will revive. That's his plan. I'll revive them. Amen. Thank God for the power of the Lord to bring revival. A great door and effectual is opened unto me, Paul said. Something to rejoice about. But then he added a touch of reality. And there are many adversaries. Did the adversaries keep him from advancing towards the door? Did the adversaries hold him back from going through that great and effectual door? Not on your life. He went right on through. A great door and effectual that the Lord has opened for me. The adversaries are there, but they're not going to stop us. The adversaries are there, but they're not going to hold us back. We're going through the great door that is effectual and open by the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Now, do you have a red letter Bible? Who has a red letter Bible? There's no red letter in devices, is there? There is? Oh, praise God. I like to find red letters. In the Gospels, loaded with red letters. When I'm reading the book of Acts, I like to see the red letters. And in chapter 18, there's a bunch of them. Praise God. Because it's the Lord speaking to the Apostle Paul. And he had heard the Lord before. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. Praise God. And now in chapter 18, 9 and 10. Let me share it with you from the Living Bible. Don't be afraid. This is what the Lord is saying to the Apostle Paul. Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't quit. For I am with you, and no one can harm you. Many people here in this city belong to me. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. He's going to turn their hearts back to him. Praise God. Amen. 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 Oh, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. And I believe that the Lord delights in doing that. And he's telling you, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't quit. I'm with you. No one can harm you. Many people in this city belong to me. Praise God. Amen. Now, as we get ready to pray here, I want to go back to Elijah on the mountain. He stayed on the mountain. He's still there. Because he wanted his servant to look towards the sea. And he warned Ahab, get down. You better get into your chariot and move because it's going to rain. There's sound of abundance of rain. Ahab's looking around. The unbeliever. You spineless king. Oh, Lord. So, sound of abundance of rain. Here's Elijah praying again. He's praying again. Praise God. He sends that servant seven times. Finally, on the seventh time, a cloud the size of a man's hand. You've seen clouds rise in the afternoon, evaporation, condensation, the whole process, you know, takes place. That's a tiny little cloud. Amen. What did Brother Jeff say about that? Just the idea that, oh my, the ocean generally does a whole lot more than that. But if it's just a cloud the size of a man's hand, receive it. Amen. Believe it. Praise God. Amen. And I don't know what the servant was thinking. He comes back and reports. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Okay, let's get up. Let's go. What? That's not abundance. That's tiny. That's what do you mean? Let's pray a little bit longer. Let me go look again. No. Elijah said, let's go. It's going to rain. And then it was black with clouds and rain. And Elijah took off running. Yes. Praise God. All right. It signified this is God's answer. Yes. This is God's answer. I don't care if it's a tiny little cloud or if it's a whole bank of thunder clouds coming. It's God's answer. Yes. Amen. That's, you know, sometimes we put stipulations on God. Sometimes we're wondering, let's see here, God, is that really you? And we got to make sure we're doing what the Lord wants us to do and we're receiving what the Lord has provided. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Hebrews 12 and 1. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his garment. He tucked it into his belt and getting ready to run. And he took off and passed up Ahab on his chariot. He's getting with it. Praise God. Coming down the mountain, Mount Marathon, taking the big jumps. Praise God. Hebrews 12 and 1. Seeing we also are compassed about, you know, we're circled with a great cloud of witnesses, a great cloud. We're talking about a great cloud now. Not the size of a man's hand. No, we're talking about a whole bunch of witnesses, a whole bunch that have been victorious. A whole bunch that have seen prayers answered. A whole bunch that have held on to God and not let go. And they've seen the hand of the Lord work. They've seen the hand of God perform. They know that God can answer. They're around us, cheering us on. Come on, you can make it. Keep going. Don't stop. Praise God. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. Praise God. Let's come and pray here for a little bit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, again, the demonstration, the divine display, the strong supernatural evidence, not for entertainment, is not for just sensational news. Oh, did you hear about it? It was to turn their hearts back. Turn their hearts back, Lord. Don't let them stray. Don't let them play. Turn their hearts back. That's what I want us to pray right now. We saw it on Sunday morning. We saw a bit of it on Sunday morning. God turning hearts back. I'm believing for many, many more. Oh, we saw the cloud the size of a man's hand on Sunday morning. God wants abundance. God wants to display abundance. Hallelujah. Come on, let's call upon God. Hallelujah.